And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Amen. No scope of pride. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is making certain things very clear. He's saying, you are the clay and the potter. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here he says, the Lord is saying to the prophet, arise and go down into the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. See, a prophet's ministry is to declare the word of the Lord. And God is saying to the prophet, you obey me and step out, then I will give you the word. Amen. If it was me, I would have said, Lord, first you speak to me. First let me receive your word. Let me receive your message. And then I will step out. But here, God is saying, first to step out. The principle is simple. Obedience is equal to blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Obedience is equal to
blessing.
Amen. Hallelujah. You want to see fruitfulness? You want to see the blessing of God come over your life? The key thing is obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. To the principles of God's word. To the person of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now here, the prophet goes into the potter's house, and there he says, the potter is making something in the wheat. You know, when the potter, before he begins to put something on that wheel to make something, what the potter does is he takes some mud and he puts it in what you call to sift that mud. So the hard pieces, the small stones, the small piece of rock, everything can fall away. It can be on top of it, and only the pure, smooth, good soil comes down. What am I trying to tell you? When God calls you, he takes you in his hand, and what he tries to do is he puts you through a process where he sifts you, so that all the hard areas of your life, those areas which are stubborn, those attitudes that you have, certain hard areas of your life, certain hard things that you carry in your life. Amen. I like that ad of, I think it is the VIP suitcase. Less baggage, more comfort. Amen. So all the unnecessary baggage God takes care of. He says, he's going to sift you so that you don't carry too much stuff that you don't need to carry. Amen. That's where sometimes you find there are relationships, there are things in your life which you find being broken apart. Why? Because God wants to make something out of your life that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Left to yourself, you are just clay. Just mud. Amen. Sometimes it is good that you think about from where you came so far. What you were before. Some people think, okay, maybe I should turn back and go away from the Lord and go back to where I came from. Let me tell you, you had nothing there. That's why you came to the Lord. Never forget it. Amen. Never forget from where God called you. What he called you from. What you were, the situation or the nature of your life that was there before. He called you. He separates certain things from your life which he thinks is harmful for you, so you can become a smooth, good, soft, easy sand with which he can make something.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And what the potter does is, before he puts it on the wheel, he takes this nice, good mud and pours a little bit of water into it. Amen. That's what I call good, godly experiences that you have. The water of refreshing from the presence of God. Sometimes a fresh anointing. Sometimes the glory of God, the grace of God. You know you're saved by grace. You can feel the favor of God all over you. The grace, charismata, which means the unmerited favor of God. You know you have all of that favor of God upon your life. You feel good. How many of you have ever gone for a meeting in your life? You heard the word of God. You felt the Lord speak to you. And you knew that you were special in the hands of the Lord. Amen. You knew there was a difference and distinction between people in your family and people across the world. There was a separation. You knew it. You felt special. You felt important. You felt needed. That's what the Spirit of God puts into you. He makes you look good, attractive, beautiful. He says, you are special. I need you. And He gives you an experience, godly, good experiences in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We all have our experience in the Lord. Amen. When you feel the touch of God, sometimes you might be out there, depressed, discouraged. You might be thinking you can never go on for yet another day. And suddenly you find the mercy of God just pulling you up again. How many times in your life have you thought it is the end of your walk when you had a sudden spurt of grace or the blessing of God come upon you, set you free and bring you back again? Amen. How many of you thought ever in your life you're finished, everything is gone, I've spoiled the whole thing, I've messed it up real bad, and I don't think there is any way that I can come out of it, and suddenly you realize the grace of God still reaches to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody have that experience in your life? See, that's the grace of God. And here He says, He takes the clay, makes it soft, puts the water, and makes it in a nice, good, alwash type. Amen. Hallelujah. Then what does He do? He puts it on the wheat. That's what the prophet is saying. The prophet is seeing the clay in the wheat. What does the wheat do? It keeps turning and turning and turning and turning. And you wonder why you are having the same kind of repetitive things happening in your life. What's happening to me? I thought I got a breakthrough. Why am I going in circles? I don't understand. I don't seem to be making any progress. I don't seem to be reaching anywhere. I don't know what's happening. Look, I'm going in circles again, again, again. It's you, the clay on the wheel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you one thing very clear. When you build a house, you don't just put a few stones here and there and put a little bit of cement there and try to build something up. You don't do that. First you have either the architect or the interior designer showing you the entire structure of the house. And then according to that plan you build. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How much more the Lord? When He starts His work in your life, He's got a blueprint of what He wants you to be. Amen.
Amen.
He knows what He needs to make your life to be. And then He starts the building. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I have the other mic? I'm straining my voice. So here it says, He puts it on the wheel, the same repetitive experience you might be going in circles, but it's you on the wheel. Let me tell you something there very clear. When you're on the wheel, let me tell you this, if there is still any small stone or a hard piece that is still there in the mud, what happens is the entire shape of the thing goes and breaks down. And you know what the point is? He takes that mud again, takes it back right to the start again, the sifting thing, Alpa, and puts it there again, and one more time. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, some people, they never change their attitude. Are you with me? With a hard attitude in your life. Amen. When you are on the wheel, God wants you to change your perspective, the way you see things. Do you remember? When Goliath came and stood in the valley of Elah and challenge the people of Israel, what is God saying? Goliath is challenging and saying, if there is anybody who is mighty to come and fight, let him fight. And Israel has got this one word in their hearts and in their mind. They're saying, this guy is too big. We can't handle him. He's too big. But look at David. The way he sees it, David is saying, listen, he's too big to miss. Amen. He is too big to miss. I can't miss him. Let me tell you, if there's a huge problem in front of you, chances are that you can make it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He puts it on the wheat. The wheat.
I like that. The wheat. Goes on and on in circles. He wants you to change your attitude, the way you see things. Some people, the minute they get in the wheel, and if there are hard attitudes that are still there, they say, oh, any other item that I found it, what do you do? Transition like I did. Could I make a way in like I did? Yella, Pasaman, and Ramana. And God says, let's go back to the starting process again, son. With that attitude, if I promote you, with that kind of attitude, if I promote you, it's a huge problem. Are you with me? So let me take you right back. Take that hardness of you. Make you soft. Make you pliable in my hands. Amen. Amen. He wants to take and make you soft and smooth. He wants to squeeze and make something out of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And he puts you again on the wheel. The journey goes. The 12 spies who saw the land, all of them saw the same giants, saw the same problem, saw the same land. 10 of them had a negative report. Are you with me? They said this problem is stupid. We are like grasshoppers. We look so insignificant. I don't think we amount to anything in life. I think we are finished. That's what the 10 spies said when they saw the land. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, listen, let us go and take that land right now. For God is with us. Amen. So you need to change your perspective, change the way you think. Hard attitudes. Some people never change the attitude. Are you with me? And God can't promote them. God can't take them on. And you find them having the same kind of problem all the time. And the same situation and the same kind of confession. Same kind of, they react the same way. 19. Either complaining or grumbling or mumbling or angry. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But God has got the end in mind when He begins to work. Amen. Amen. No matter how long it takes, He says, listen, let's get this job done. Hallelujah. He puts you on the wing. Amen. That's why it's so important that you need to change your attitudes. The way you see things, the way you look at people. Some people, they never change their posture. They want to evangelize the whole world, but they look down upon people. How can God use you? Change the way you see things, see people, see situations. See with an attitude of faith. See with an attitude of, just get the negative thing out of your mind. See the Lord in the picture. See, the 10 spies who saw the land, they said, we look like grasshoppers. Amen? But what does God have to say? Why does God anger with them? Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 22. The 14th chapter and verse 22. See, what did God have to say over the inhabitants of the land? Verse 22 of 14th chapter of Isaiah. It says here, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Amen. God is saying, listen, the inhabitants of the land are like grasshoppers. And the 10 spies who saw the giants, they are saying, listen, we are like grasshoppers. God said, they are like grasshoppers. You are more than conquerors in Christ. Amen. See, it has to do with the same. I've shared this before. A man of faith gets up in the morning, he jumps on a bed and says, good morning, God! But a man who is of unbelief, a negative mindset, he gets up the same morning and he says, good God, morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So what you see, how we magnify the problem of the Lord. You see, you need to change it. See, you are the wheel as long as you need to change your attitude. Are you with me? What do you learn on the wheel? What you learn on the wheel is this. Staying power. Staying power. Say that with me. Staying
power.
Staying power. You stay there. Staying power. Are you with me? No matter what the trials are in your life, no matter why you're going in circles, you need to say, I won't quit on Jesus. I won't stop walking with Him. I won't stop my faith and my prayer in the Bible. I won't stop it.
Have you seen people when they go through this circle, they say, ah, branchil kaayirunni prathanaku poittunnaane etra meeting la etra uvasam nadandirikkunna etra prathanaku poirikkunnu etra vera thana kevichu prathanikkunnu oru sarvam avan illaendra thana kevichu. Hallelujah. Amen. To change the way you think, God is teaching you staying power. Say, I won't quit. I will still walk with the Lord. I still keep my relationship with Jesus. I still read the word. I won't allow unbelief to come on the word. I won't allow people to drop me out of my fellowship with God's people. I'm gonna keep. I got things in perspective. Brother George, staying power, endurance, patience. Are you with me? Stay. And God says, that's attitude that I can use this vessel. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Imagine God raising you up as a great minister of the gospel and you will leave your work and running away in between. God doesn't want that. God says, let him learn the lesson before. Before I give him a position, before I lift him up, let him learn. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at neighbor and say, never walk out on Jesus. Amen. See, now the vessel, since we have a little time, I'm just going to this fast. The vessel that is in the wind is taken. And what is this vessel taken? See, the vessel would think, I've been on the wind a long time. I've been going to this bar a long time. I've just come out. I've kept my walk with God. I've kept my pursuit out. Now God will use me. Now I'm going to be blessed and all that. You know what the potter does with the vessel? Takes the vessel. And the potter was thinking, oh my God, this is great. Now I'm going to be used to this. It was worth the wait. I've been waiting and staying here long and faithful. It was worth it. Potter takes it. And there is a furnace. A burning furnace. How do you mean? He puts the pot right there in that furnace. Amen. So let people think, why as a believer I have problems? Well, there is some good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God wants to check out and see whether your faith is more precious than gold.
Amen.
Tested by fire.
Amen.
Will stand the test of the fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You find again like you're speaking about healing. Speaking about Jesus being a healer. You know why? Because if you look at his testimony, he was a person on a bed on the point of death because of tuberculosis, where there was no medicine at that time. And he was on the point of dying. And the alien would come and tell him, you're finished, it's over, you're gonna end your life. He would come on, keep on saying that. And he would trust the word of God and say, no, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm going to believe in the word of God. I'm going to hold on to the word of God. He was tested. Are you with me? So now when he stands and speaks about healing, he knows what he's speaking about. You can't go to the word of God and just know about healing and go on. You won't stand when the trial comes. Brother, whatever it might be, are you with me? It will be tested. If you believe in fellowship, in submission, it will be tested. The enemy will attack you right there. He said, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to stay on. Amen. Hallelujah. Foolish experience. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at Isaiah 48 and verse 10. Are you tired? Isaiah 48 verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Hallelujah. God tested you. Hallelujah. To be very honest, I was sitting in my life and I was sitting in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit of God showed me how I failed the test. In the fullness of affliction, how I failed the test. I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. I turn. Every affliction man comes, you know, all that you comes up. But everybody goes to that stage, right? You think? What is our affliction? What is our affliction? Don't panic at that time. Amen. Though I go through the fire, you don't have to stay there in the fire. That fire experience or the first experience is not permanent. Hear me well, Isaiah 43:2-6. Though I go through the fire, it shall not scorch me. Did you hear that? Hello? Even though I go through the fire, it shall not scorch me, it shall not overwhelm me. Amen. So what I'm saying is this, the furnace experience is a true experience, it's not a staying experience. Some people have it got different. They stay in the furnace and they move or go through the wheat. Hallelujah. The other way around. You learn staying from the wheel and the furnace and affliction. Remember this. Don't put your home there. Are you with me? Don't say again, Jesus, I don't know anything here. You see that? When you go through a trial, some people say that. What they're saying is, let me build a house here. I have more faith to trial than God bringing me through. You hear that? Or you begin to doubt and say, okay, will it be the same way all the time in my life? But it's a true experience. It's a true experience. It's a true experience. Which means you don't have to stay there. It's just a true experience. You go through it. You hear that? You go through the fire. That's where your testimony comes out. Amen. Hallelujah. There are two things that will happen when you go through the fire. One, Daniel chapter 3, he says, in the furnace, three people in the furnace, what happened to them? What happened to them? The king is looking and he sees a fourth one in the furnace, looking like the Son of God or the Son of Man. Speaking about Jesus. So in the furnace or in the trial, Jesus shows up.
Amen.
The first thing. Amen. He doesn't send someone else. He doesn't send an angel. But he himself shows up.
Amen.
Some of you always been saying, Lord, I want to see you, I want to know you. And you think it might be in a worship experience where there's a great worship going on and you might know the Lord intimately. To a certain extent, yes. But real, deep knowing of the Lord comes when you go through that fire. You have no one else to hold. You don't have the pastor's mobile number. You don't have the intercession group. You can't watch TV. You can't get to a Christian bookstore. There's nobody else around you. Nothing there for you. And you say, my God, I need you. And he shows up. Amen. Second thing that happens in the furnace is that the Daniel's three friends in the furnace, their chains and their ropes, everything broke open. Which means even bondages that you've been tied down with, sometimes yes, just the breakthrough does not come in a way to a good time. It comes and it's a trial. You hear that? Chains, ropes, it's broken. Hallelujah. That's a testimony that comes into your life. Amen. Go through the fire. Furnace of affliction. Amen. Hallelujah. And after you come out of the furnace, you might be saying, now God will use me, God will use me mightily. Look at that, I've just gone through the trial, our testimony, our ministry begins. You know what the potter does with the clay or with the pot that he's made? He takes it and he keeps it on a shelf. He keeps it on a shelf. Nothing happens. No ministry, nothing. And you might be wondering why chains fell apart. I saw the Lord. I have a testimony. What about the Lord using me now? God says, no. I just need to cool off. I just want you to cool off. Let me keep you here. He keeps, it's called waiting on the Lord. Are you with me?
just keeps you.
I remember the time, you know, 10 years back, 11 years back, and this is really important for some of you, that's why I'm sharing. 11 years back, I said, I give my entire life to you, Jesus. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to serve you. And I had pressure at that time from my family to study or to do some, I will look out next year, do some of the business, some help out my brother somewhere in the business or something to do. And I said, Lord, I give you my entire life to follow you and seek you and to serve you. I did that. And you can imagine the frustration, because I'm praying almost 8 hours a day. I'm fasting almost, first 1 year I was just fasting all through, I would say. You know, just eating a little bit here and there, just bringing black coffee, that's all. Doing everything you can do to pray, getting up in the watch of the night and praying, everything, nothing happening, no ministry. Nothing happening, so frustrating. And people ask you what I did, I'm serving the Lord full time. And then, what are you doing? Nothing! It was highly frustrating. I don't understand this cooling off period, waiting up period. And at that time I resolved I would go to Victor, brother, and ask him, brother, next ministry, can I come with you? He takes people by after praying about God chosen. I said, I'll just come with you. I just carry the oil or carry the suitcase or take up the hoo or whatever, brush your legs, whatever. I just come to you. And since I would again and again ask him, he, me, and Rupert would say, okay, come. And then I would travel on a suitcase all through, and I'd say, I'm going for evangelization, crusade, ministry, and all that. I go, nothing to do. I give up oil, I do those humble things, serve, but nothing to do. And I would come back home and they would ask God, see, you can't share humility inside the church. Are you with me? Your brother or your sister will understand. The team members there understood. But you come back and imagine saying that to your brother and to your mother and father, what did you do? We come home together, thought of some other business and petty. It's highly frustrating. I can understand the cooling of period. I remember I would call up my grandmother and ask her, would you ask your son, Joseph Jackson, who's my uncle, to take me with him when he goes home to sin? No, the recommendation. My grandmother. And my grandmother would say, she was only happy that I was set free from the bondage that I was in. You know what is happening. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? You two, I am not going to be there. See, I can understand the cooling of me. Are you with me? God doesn't want you to produce your Ishmaels at that time. He wants you to wait for your Isaac. He wants you to be at rest. That's the time you find this word called rest. Are you with me? The cooling of period is the time of your rest. Resting in the Lord. Not R-U-S-T, R-E-S-T. Some people just rest. So it is R-E-S-T, rest. Resting in the Lord. Are you with me? There are three commands which Jesus gave. One is in Matthew 11, where he says, the 28th verse, come unto me all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. You hear that? Then he said, follow after me, take up the cross and follow after me. Be my disciple. Are you with me? One is coming unto the Lord, that was the word. Other was follow after me. And the third was in John 15, where he said, abide in me. These are the three commands. Come. That's where you're rushed. You need to be at peace with God. Are you with me? You need to accept yourself, accept the Lord, accept the situation on your end, be at peace. Only if you have that rushed attitude will you be able to be a disciple too, to really follow in an atmosphere of faith. Deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord. Only if you are an empty of flesh. Are you with me? And then comes the fruitfulness time. When you continue to abide in the Lord. Did you hear that? Come on, how many of you got it?
Amen.
First thing is rest. Rest, that means trust. Trust the Lord. Trust Him and His Word. Trust Him that He's in charge over your life. No matter what the struggles have been, no matter what the frustration is, no matter what people think about you, never jump. Are you with me? Wait on the Lord. Be at rest, be at peace. Cool. Allow the Lord to cool you. Then what does the Lord do? He goes with this. This vessel that He's got, the school Lord, what He does is with that, is that He puts in certain vessels oil, in certain vessels grain, in certain vessels vellum, and in certain vessels wine. I can't look at someone else and say, listen, he's got wine, why I'm only one? God is saying, why one looks better on you? Hallelujah. He's got wine, nice, good wine. The other fellow's got nice, good grain inside his vessel. Full of the Word. Full of the richness of God. That is always sweet, nice. The joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Oh my God, I want to be like that. Some people want to evangelize like Billy Graham, have a healing ministry like Billy Graham. Do an evangelizing crusade like Ronan Bonge, cast the devil out like Dallas Anakondia, and have the sweetness of Mother Teresa. It doesn't happen that way. God makes sure He puts you through that. He says, listen, grain looks good on you. Other person might be why. Don't come down with someone at that time and get frustrated. Each of us have got our own unique calling and vocation to do in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So remember this. And as we maintain on this word. The clay in the hands of the potter. Are you with me? Clay in the hands of the potter. Remember that. May the good God bless you with His word and with the song as we sing it one more time. Remember this. God has brought revival deep within the hearts of people here. Hardness of hearts have been broken. Resistance to God have been broken. Amen. The bonds of sin some of you struggling with, the habits have been broken. I see that from the anointing that was flowing in this time of worship. Amen. Look to Jesus. Magnify His name. Look at Him. Worship Him for who He is. He's wonderful. He's altogether lovely. He's greater than, hallelujah, anyone else. He's higher than the heavens. He's altogether wonderful. Amen. Worship Him tonight as we stand up in prayer. One more time in song, please. Father, tonight we want to thank You for this message that You spoke to us. Father, tonight we want to thank You for having spoken to us, Your Word. We receive Your Word with thanksgiving. Thank You for once again guiding us with Your Word, Lord. We treasure Your Word in our hearts more than anything else. And we confess, Lord, You are the potter and we are the clay. And fashion us the way that You want to, Lord. For You have got the final plan in mind. And You know what we have to be. Let it be according to Thy will. We give You all our lives. This congregation, the plans of this congregation, let me give it Your hands. Let me done according to Thy word. Yes, Father, according to Your plan, not our plans, Lord. Hallelujah. We never limit You, Lord. Fashion us for the way You want to. We thank You that we are clay in Your hands, and we are grateful that we are in Your hands. In Jesus' name, Amen.